themselves. Then all God. Those who are at the back, do they hear my voice? My voice is it to them? That's all. Dear brothers and sisters, masters have been coming from time to time just to guide the child humanity back to God. When they come, they are very good observers. They see that everybody is unhappy. Guru Nanak says, I see all are unhappy. Wherever you cross your sight, you see all are unhappy. Then Swamiji came up. He also says, oh soul, I see you are unhappy. First thing to be considered is when the masters come, they don't look to us from the labels we are carrying on our bodies to show in which school of thought we are joined to know God. They simply address, oh man or oh soul. Kabir also the same thing. Ever since a man is born, I have never seen any man happy. And the Quran, the Mohammedan scripture also say, it is the home of distress. Tulsi Sahib, a great saint, it tells us all are unhappy, some physically, some want of money, some unaccompanied on some mind. So they all observe like that. The question remains, master come. They go into the matter, what is the cause of their unhappiness? They solve the mystery of life. And they came to the conclusion, it is all due to the fact that we are ignorant of what man is, what you are, what is your connection with your body and all around. So say, solve this mystery of life, then find out where the shoe pinches, why we are unhappy. So they gave out all masters that they came from the east or the west, all gave out the same thing. Greek philosophers, they gave man up and they said, man know thyself, of course, in their own Greek language. Gnoti theotom. All Latin philosophers also say the same thing in Latin language. Gnosi dipsi. All Persian philosophers, they say the ultimate goal of all knowledge is to know oneself. He says we are man. Man has three aspects. It has got body, it has got intellect, and it is conscious entity. So we have known so much about the man body, about our intellect, or nothing about our own selves. We do know about ourselves only that much, what we have read in scriptures. So knowing oneself is the start, basic thing, whereafter we can know God. Because God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, or mind, or intellect. God alone can be known by soul, which is of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness. Our soul is the top of the ocean of all consciousness. So like knows the like. Generally what we see we know at the level of our feelings are drawing inferences, and both of them are subject to error. Seeing is above all. So it should see that it is purely a matter of self-analysis. By rising above body consciousness, who we are and what we are. We say it is our body, it is our outgoing faculties. We can put out, if I say my spectacle, we can put it out, my watch, we can put it out, my coat, we can put it out. But can you put off our body too? We say it is my body. So masters come up to give us a demonstration of that, really how to rise above body consciousness. So you know the outward expression of the soul is called attention. So our attention is identified with the body, with the outgoing faculties and outward world, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. So to say, our soul is under the control of mind. Mind is the control of the outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are driven like anything by the outside enjoyments. So we are identified with themselves so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. Now you find, it is we who live in the whole body. It is we from which these outgoing faculties take strength to work. But pity is the whole thing topsy-turvy. Horse had to run, take away the carriage, and carriage is put before the horse. This thing, I think you might have noticed in your daily life, when one man is sitting in some absorbed thought, somebody calls you once, twice, thrice, you do not reply, he comes up to you, asks, dear friend, I have called you so many times, why don't you reply? He says, my attention was absorbed somewhere else. So long the attention is not with the ears don't work. Similarly, sometimes you will find that your eyes are open and you are sitting in a very absorbed state. Somebody passes by you and do not recognize who has come and who has gone. Newton was solving a mathematical problem by a roadside, and a band passed by him while playing. Later on, another man came up and inquired, Newton, as any band has passed by this place? He says, I don't know. Now you'll find these outgoing faculties take strength from us. Unless our attention is theirs, they don't work. So how to this demonstration can be had, how to know oneself by practical self-analysis at the feet of the master. So they gave us a demonstration, really how to rise above body consciousness. We see for our own selves, then how can we be happy? Because the attention is absorbed all outside. When it is withdrawn from outside practically, this house is a wonderful house we live in, which has got so many holes, so many apertures, two of the eyes, two of the nostrils, two of the ears, and mouth and 200. So there are so many holes, doors in the man body, opening outside, but we do not run away out of it. So our body works as long as we are in the body, and we are in the body as long as we are controlled in the body. by some power. That power is one that the maker of all creation and controller of all creation and permeating all creation. That very power also keeps us in the body. So when we rise, we above body consciousness by withdrawing our attention from all outside and from the body below. The demonstration of which is given by your master, adapt in that way. Then you know I am not the body. I am not the outgoing faculties. I am not the intellect. He says, these take strength from me. I am the one enlivening the old body. When you see that, then you can see that power working overhead. The highest aim of a man's body is to know God. Who can know God? We. Who are we? We are conscious entities. When we are analyzed from all outside, outgoing faculties, mind and intellect, rise above it, we see that power is working. So there was an atheist. In his home he had got a very big hall. On that one motto was written, God is nowhere. He was dying. He was at deathbed. He was an atheist. And the child came up. He began to read, G-O-D, God, I-S is, and no W now, H-E-R here. God is now here. And the dying man said, yes, my child, there's some power that is controlling us. So if we know God, we must know ourselves. Because it is the conscious entity, we can know the all consciousness. So there's another way. If you rise to body consciousness, just as a dying man leaves the body and come to the back of the eyes, when his eyes are upturned, if you know how to rise there while alive, you'll see that power. So man is the highest in all creation. It is next to God. Angels are asked to bow down before the man body. Even the gods and goddesses, if they like to meet God, know God, they have to take the body of man. So it is the highest in all creation. All the Upanishads are the same. When the souls of the rishis return after enjoying the bliss of the higher planes, and they chose the man body to enter, because in man body alone can man know each God and no other. Even gods and goddesses cannot reach him unless they take the man body. So man has got three aspects, as I submitted before. It has got man body, it has got intellect, and it is conscious entity, a top or ocean of all consciousness. So we have made progress, advancement, wonderfully, physically too. We know how the physical body can be maintained, how the diseases arise, how those can be set right. They've got so many patches at our command. Oldest is the Ayurvedic, then the Yunani system, then the allopathic, homeopathy, naturopathy, electronic treatments. So many is coming. Intellectually, we have also advanced very wonderfully. That is before you. We can hear and see man speaking at a distance, thousands of miles, through radio. What he is speaking and who is speaking through television. We have visited the moon, and we are visiting other planets also. We can go around the world in hours. With all these advancements, we are not happy. That's the reason. So Master tell us, you can be happy if you rise above body conscience, analyze yourself for mind and outgoing faculties, know yourself. When you know yourself, like knows delight. You'll find that power within your body. So Guru Nanak gave the same thing. He says all world is unhappy if he knows himself, withdraws himself from all outside and from the body below, then he comes in contact with that controlling power, God into expression power, which is called Nam or word. Only such a soul can be happy. Because that is the bread of life and water of life. We have given food to the body, we have become physically strong. We have given food to the intellect, we have gone intellectually strong. With all these, we have inventions of bombs, neurotic bombs, hydrogen bombs. The world is afraid. Anytime this war begins, the world will come to an end. But had we known ourselves first, then all these things should have gone, then what would have found? That we are of the same essence as that of God. We are drops of the ocean of all consciousness. As such, we are all brothers and sisters in God. So all these atomic powers, this and that, he would have gone to help mankind. All this is due to what? Because we have done little or nothing to know ourselves. And moreover, you'll find, after this man body is given to us temporarily, it won't last long. This is the first companion that comes along with us into the world. But when we leave the world, this does not go along with us. So you hold the one man who rises above body consciousness, his angle of vision is changed. You know, Christ did say, it is easy for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man with so much of possession expended in thought, he cannot, no hope for him. So if your angle of vision is changed, you would have the right perspective of the right venues of these things. If a man of millions or thousands or hundreds or nothing, they leave everything here. To earn money is not a bad thing, but earn it with honest means. Help yourself and help others. Man is one who is of help to others too. Animals only of help to themselves. Look to the face of the animal, it is like that, facing outwards. If it remains all towardsly, no strangely, God is man made face upward. So that want all masters want is that man should prove the true Son of God. We are all brothers and sisters of God. In that case, in these things the world will be happy. Kingdom of God will come to our on earth. We are conscious entities. As man, you will find, we are one. Man is born with the same privilege from God. Born the same way, outer construction the same. Two eyes, two hands, two feet, two ears, two nostrils. Inner construction also the same. All have got stomach, lungs, intellect. So as a man, we are one. As soul, we are drops of the ocean of all consciousness. We are all brothers and sisters and are one. As such, we are all brothers and sisters in God. We are all one. And whom we worship, called by so many names, that is also the same. The archers may be many, but the target is the same. you remain in any social body, in any religion, all pray to God. Oh God, although we have not seen, this is the natural instinct with a neat body, you know some power is there. So, it is the third aspect about which we know little or nothing. That is why all this happiness is unhappiness due to. Then the Master tells us, look at your conscious entity. You are God in spirit and you are spirit in man. As spirit is eternal, and why you fear that you will die? So the body whom we worship is the same. This is the angle of being changed like that. So as such you will find the world will be all happy. The world is, this is the first self-evident fact we have taken here. Second self-evident fact is, the world is not our home, nor this body which we are living in. Our true home is the house of our Father. We are conscious entities. Everything goes to its original source, light a candle. The flame will go up, even to upward it, even then the flame will go up. But the source of light, sun, is upward. You throw a cloud of earth very high in the heavens, again that will return to earth, because the source is earth below. So our soul is just controlled by these things, and identified and being under the control of mind, which is material, we always being led to the earthly things. So they tell us, this man body is not your permanent home, not this world. Your real home is above all heavens. It is that place which is the house of our Father. So naturally, those who come to that awakening, their angle of vision is changed. They consider themselves to be just stuck fast in the earth, whereas his true home is above all heaven. So body is the first companion, as I have told you, which came along with us when entering the world, whether king or the subject, rich or the poor, learned or the unlearned, all have to leave the body. In the saints, in the incarnations, they took body and left the scene, and we have also to leave the world someday. So it is a wonderful house we live in. This works, as I submitted already, it works only so long as we are body, and we are in the body so long as some power is controlling us in the body. So this is the high time. Man body is the golden opportunity that we have got. Why? Because in this man body only we can know God, and in no other body. All scriptures speak very highly about it, and they tell us that derive the full body as long as you are in the body. Kabir says, keep the body as long as you can. Rishi told, well, keep it at least up to 100 years. Once this is passes out of our hand, we will go where we are attached. If we are attached to the world, naturally we come round and round to the earth. If, while in man body, we know ourselves and have a contact with all consciousness within, naturally we will go after death to the tomb of the Father. So all scriptures tell us this is man body in which God is manifested, can be manifested. This is held by very good fortune. It is your turn to meet God. So man, the greatness lies in the fact that he know God. He can know God. If he has not known God, why brag so much, I am the head of all creation. So the highest thing that we have to find is to know God. So body is the true temple of God in which we live in which the light of God is manifest. Outer temples were made after the man body, bundle of man body. All masters who came, they said, the true mask is the man body. God does not reside in temples made by human hands, but He does live in body, in the house which He has built in the womb of the mother. That's the man body. So outer places of worship, whether they are temples of the Hindus, they are dome-shaped, whether they are mosques, forehead-like shaped, whether they are churches, long nose-shaped, they are the two symbols of God are kept. And God wanted, I one and wish to be many. There was vibration, and vibration results in two things, light and sound. So God is light, and God is nada. God is the music of the spheres. So these outer temples were made just to let the beginners know that such like guide and such like light and such like sound of God, voice of God, is reverberating within your own man body. The body in which you live, that is the true temple of God. Outer temples were only made to let those understand, those are new, what is what. So same light, the same light you have got in the churches, the same light is lit in the temples, the same light is lit in the mosques. So these are only models made, which is the better, best of all. So Master tells us that man body is the best of all in which the light of God is emerging. So I mean the ideal of all religions at our hand is what? A Sikh is he who sees the full effulgent of light within him. He is called a Khalsa. A Hindu is one who, instead of lighting outside, he lights the within, sees the light within. See? A Mohammedan one who sees the light of God. And a Christian is also one who sees the light of God. Ultimate goal is the same. That school is better in which many students come up successful. Which school is better? Which has got high, very grand buildings, very good playing ground, very good dresses of the students, where no student passes and gets a higher degree. The watch is there, made of gold, studded with rubies. And it does not give time then. So man body, that religion, that school of thought is the best in which that turns out so many successful students who see the light of God. But who can make us see that light of God? That's the question. Masters always say that light is within you. The body is the temple in which the light of God is effulgent. Why, man, you are going round and round outside. If you want to find him, tap inside. That is what Emerson says. So for that reason, it is the Master's, Christ said, I have come to make people see who do not see. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. We are all children of light, enveloped by so many sheets. You know how to take off these sheets, you see the light is already there. So for that reason, that is there, why can't we see? Master says there is light within. The reason is because in contact mind and matter, soul is going round and round, because wherever it attaches to go there. And further, the law of karma, cause and effect, as you sow, so shall you reap, that goes on in operation. If you sow a good seed, you'll reap good fruit. If you sow a bad seed, then the result will be bad. So now the only thing remains, and the mind position, the more you give in, the more it wants. The more you enjoy outside, the more mind, more enjoyment. So the Prishnas tell us what is that, by knowing which, then nothing more remains to be known. Mind is permanently satisfied. That can be had, that is within us. Master says that we have seen God everywhere. And we also see, I have seen God in this man body too. Why do we not see? They say mind stands in the way. So first thing you see, we have to control the mind. And Master says, you have got a resolute will to meet God, put a step on your mind first, control it. The next step that you will take, that to reach the house of your father. Now, how to control the mind? Masters have gone into it, they found that mind is attracted by outside enjoyments, which you go into, you'll find there are two things especially in them. One is good scenery, good beauty, that attracts anybody. Further, outer music. Mind is driven away like that. So God has made that arrangement within us too. And that is more beautiful, more sweet music of the spheres going on. So Master, what do they give? They take this habit of the mind, they give him the more bliss, more joy, more music within us. And they give a demonstration of that by giving you a demonstration how to withdraw your attention from all outside and withdraw from your body, bring it to the level of the eyes where that single eye is open. If thy single eye be open, your whole body shall be full of light. So light and sound principle is the water of life, bread of life, nectar of life, nectar of Nam, which mind once has a taste, all our outer tastes are forgotten. So for that you see there are two things God has kept in our body. You see light and sound. The two powers there, one of seeing, you got light, all glory and beauty lies within you. Astral plane is more beautiful than the physical one. Causal still more. You rise above all these, you have got still more light, good seeing. Similarly, sound principle is within you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. This morning, our reader is David Halliburton. Are you there, David?
Yes, John, I am.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you. I'm going to be reading from the Master's talk entitled No Love Without Fear. And this was a talk published in the August 1972 issue of Satsandesh. And I'm actually going to pick up in the middle. The masters say, I'm sorry, let me start again. Masters usually express a world of truth in but a few words. Brevity is the soul of wit. Yet, whatever they express, they do so with eloquence. We have but to study their words carefully to uncover the wealth of meaning hidden therein. When Guru Arjan Sahib collected the works of the great masters and made the monumental volume, the Adi Granth, he wrote that when he opened the treasures of the fathers and grandfathers, he found the store of true peace. Study these treasures of our spiritual forefathers carefully. We show respect, bow before them, make offerings of flowers, etc., but we rarely study them that we might understand their true meaning. I will now take a short hymn, so try to understand by giving full attention. Master quotes from the first part of the hymn, "The Guru has given me control of this house. I am now the mistress." The physical form is like a wonderful house in which we live. There are 10 servants, 5 senses of action, and 5 of knowledge with which the body is run. Sometimes one sense drags us, sometimes another. If one has 4 or 5 maid servants and none of them obey orders, do you think the house will be kept clean and orderly? The master tells us that the guru can make us the controller of all these senses. As I have already explained, no one who practices at the sense level can control the senses and rise above, for his attention remains at that level. When the guru teaches one to control the senses, the whole being comes under control. Just think, are you in control of yourself? You can see that you cannot even sit quietly here, are always looking this way and that. Your attention wanders. With so many different thoughts entering your head, who resides within and is in control at present? Your mind, which is making you dance continuously to its tune. The masters say, there is God. We have experienced him. We have seen the Lord. What does that mean? It means the God which has become into expression, not God absolute. Absolute God is a stage into which the soul must merge and lose its personality to know. Where then is the Lord's expression? It is in the very temple of the human form. He is the controlling power therein. As long as the friend resides, the companion remains. When the friend leaves, only ashes are left. The body flourishes while the soul is in it, but the soul must leave when the controlling power leaves. The body then reverts to dust. Dust thou art, and unto dust returneth. What does the guru give through which we can gain control of our being? He gives the greater nectar, tasting which all lesser enjoyments become insignificant. That nectar is called Nam. It is called Word. It is the very highest gift of God. We must meet someone who will withdraw our attention from materialistic affairs for a while and make us aware of our true selves. You will then see that there is a power controlling all things. The master says that he met a guru who made him the controller of the house. And if the house is to be looked after properly, then how many servants are required? Master returns to the hymn and reads, 10 maid servants were given by the Lord. 5 senses of knowledge and 5 of action, and through the Guru's grace, one becomes their controller, and the soul begins to gain consciousness. At present, we are slaves to the senses, slaves to enjoyment. But when control is gained, at our will, the senses operate. Furthermore, by withdrawal from the outer level of the senses, worldly happiness and unhappiness can no longer touch us. I put my house in order. Then the thirst of yearning for the beloved came. The house runs in perfect order when the servants obey orders. One can enter an orderly house, even in the darkness of night, without stumbling. Of course, if there is light within, so much the better. With the servant's help, the whole house is put in order. And if a person is free from all worries, he will naturally be drawn towards his source. The soul is the Lord's entity and has a natural inclination to go towards him, but only when freed from outer entanglements. When the Guru gives a demonstration, through his grace the soul is released for a while and rises above body consciousness. By regular daily practice, the soul gains proficiency and is able to leave and return to the body at will. This results in all outer ties being broken, and true yearning for the Lord develops. Then the thirst of yearning for the beloved came. Also, the ties are broken in the company of the sadhu. What is a sadhu? There is no difference between the sadhu and the Lord. Everyone has God within. Withdraw from outer things and become the image of Him. You all have that light within you, but you do not make the best use of it. Only he in whom God has manifested can manifest the light in others. Those who are one with that light can be called sadhu, sant, mahatma, etc. A lighted lamp can light other lamps, and this is a criterion which is most necessary to judge a true master. The soul must have the experience. Such true masters have ever been very few in the world. Even now, they are rare. They tell us that they have awakened within themselves. When one goes into oneself, there is great bliss inside, lasting bliss, unlike the worldly happinesses which last only as long as our attention is focused. If one remains within, one will be perpetually blissful. A certain Muslim fakir says that if the intellectuals came to know about this nectar, they would go mad and begin dancing in intoxication. After all, this is something about which to get excited. This place of sensual pleasures is insipid. Renounce it, friend, and drink the elixir of life. It is the soul's food, imbibing which all other tastes fade away. If you have got even a little taste of that nectar, then increase it daily. At present, your mind may not allow you to go within. But when you achieve that competency, it will not allow you to come out. Turn a lighted candle upside down, and its flames will still go upwards because its source is the sun. Those under the mind's influence are like clay. No matter how high you can throw a ball of clay in the air, it will return to earth, its source. With the 10 maid servants of senses, I set my house in order and started finding my Lord. What can I say of my beloved's attributes? He is the image of beauty and mercy. What words can one use to describe the Lord? He is utterly attractive. He is all bliss. Even these words cannot express his nature. The masters speak of bliss and know of what they say through experience, but what do we know of it? Everyone speaks of bliss, but without a taste, it remains unknown. but it can be known through the Guru's grace. The outer bliss, which is experienced merely at sense level, is enjoyed for but a brief space of time, obtained at the cost of drinking one's life blood, even at that, through outer connections. People speak highly of this kind of bliss, but, oh brothers, what is this compared to the true inner bliss of that all-pervading power of the Lord? Thus, I adorned myself with the love of Sat and put the fear of non-acceptance in the eyes. I ate the tanbal of Amrit Nam within. Tanbal, says, or pan, is an ancient and modern preparation wrapped in a betel leaf, which when chewed stains the lips red. He adorned himself with truth. When one experiences the inner nectar, one feels enwrapped or adorned with truth itself. In this blissful condition, fear enters the heart, along with the love, for one becomes fully aware that all one's thoughts and actions are known. These two things both come with adornment of truth, love, and fear. Adorn your eyes with fear. If a person really knows something of that power, he has an awe-filled awareness. The more he sees, the more awe enters his heart. Such a person really sees, and his heart is dragged. Development is achieved this way. He says that he ate the tanbal of Nam. In Nam, there is light. In Nam, there is nectar. It is the elixir of life. He speaks of consuming that nectar and absorbing it into his being. When one eats pan, the lips become red, but the color of Nam turns the whole countenance radiant. In this, there is bliss, all bliss, and it happens when one becomes adorned with the truth. There are two stages of truth. One is to become the truth. The other is to be connected to it. I have always advocated speaking the truth and giving the minimum of 2 hours daily for meditation. Be truthful. Those who tell lies are really trying to cover their sins with them. He has told us of the true adornment, but few people really understand this. Even you people do not understand. When the mouth is red from the pan or nam, and the heartstrings are pulled, he is filled with a deep fear. He is then neither alive nor dead. He cannot live in such agony, but he cannot die because of the joy. Do you understand a little? This is the disciple's condition. He cannot leave. He cannot stay. Bracelets, clothes, jewelry were made divinely radiant. All happiness enters when the beloved appears. The master is explaining by worldly examples. When a wife awaits her husband's return, she dresses in her finest clothes and jewelry. But what if her husband does not come? Our outer practices in worship of God are a kind of adornment. All types of devotions, prayers, readings of books, and so on. They would all become radiant if only he for whom they are performed would appear. But if he does not appear, one is left like the wife who gazes at her fine adornments and cries because her husband did not come. What is the use of all these outer preparations if we do not see the Lord? The Master tells us that all his preparations for the Lord became radiantly beautiful because the Beloved appeared. What is a woman's crowning glory? Surely it is the presence of her husband. So, which devotion will become resplendent? That in which the Beloved appears. I developed a woman's attributes to gain my Beloved's pleasure. Thus did I win his attention, and illusion faded. He adopted a girl's attributes. She lives in her father's house until her betrothal, and then the love in her heart for her betrothed increases daily. Her thoughts are ever upon him. Her heartstrings are dragged in his direction. She becomes restless and unhappy, but consoles herself with thoughts of her forthcoming marriage and how she will then leave her father's house to be always at her beloved's side, and she is content to await that day. Love and yearning are two of her attributes. On marriage, her past identity is finished. She takes her husband's name and caste and way of life. When the soul has rejoined the Lord, what is the difference between Hindu, Muslim, Christian? We may respect and live up to these labels, for they are our outer adornments and should beautify us. But what is truly our caste, mine and yours? Our caste is that of God's. I and my Father are one. Once a certain fakir went to a goldsmith and, holding forth his hand, said, "Put a ring on God's finger." The shocked goldsmith stuttered, "What are you saying?" But the fakir calmly asked, "Who made this body?" The dazed goldsmith replied, "God, of course." "Then," said the fakir, "if God made it, does it not belong to him? So put the ring on his finger." It does not matter if one is born in the East or the West, if one is Muslim, Sikh, or Christian. All are first human beings, mankind, and all are conscious entities. The unity already exists, but we have forgotten it. Man has separated brother from brother by applying outer labels of religion, caste, nationality, and so on. We are his. He is ours. We should all be above any kind of controversy. Bulleh Shah was a Sayyad, a high Muslim caste, and his guru was an Arai, which is a low farmer's caste. But when Bulleh Shah went to the feet of his guru, he said that if anyone called him a Sayyad, they would go to hell, and those who considered him an Arai would reach heaven. He was emphasizing the fact that the disciple's caste is that of his guru. The guru's caste is that of God. Meeting the guru, we join that true relationship which is never broken. This applies even after death. The karmas in life have to be paid, so why not pay them cheerfully? All our relationships and environments have been written by the Lord's pen, and he has joined both individuals and circumstances through the Prarabdha karmas. It behooves us to live through them with the best attitude. When the end comes, and not before, one realizes that there is no friend in this world. Affection and love are all lies. All live for selfish happiness, both friend and foe. This is my house. These are my possessions. Why? all mankind is one, and all should share with their brothers whatever they have. We say we are Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs, Christians. First, become a Khalsa, that is, one in whom the inner light is refulgent, and you will then be a true Muslim, Hindu, Sikh, etc. This is true religion. Can you begin to see how masters view the subject? Very beautifully, Guru Arjan has placed the facts before us in this hymn. Have you ever thought about who you are and what you are? We only think in terms of high and low, but only he is high who has knowledge of the Lord. An emperor does not wish his son to end up as a mere minister, but desires that he too should be an emperor. In the same way, no guru wants his disciples to remain disciples, but they should grow to be gurus also. For this, implicit obedience is essential. But it is a sad fact that disciples do everything but obey. They bow down, scraping noses in the dust even, and they say, "Maharaj, your words are our orders." But the matter ends there. The result, therefore, is what it is. But those who do obey will receive the priceless gift. When Ravidas Ji was told, "You are a cobbler," which is a low caste, "so why are you doing this spiritual work?" he replied, "This is not ancestral property. God is his who has loving devotion for him. Whosoever is truly devoted will meet God. Think of the lowest in status as the highest if God resides in his heart. He is the highest in whomsoever God has manifested himself. Otherwise, you may say that the whole world's population are cobblers, for they are all deeply absorbed in their outer skin. As sons of man, all are cobblers." The knowledge of all four Vedas can be found in the Gurbani, in the words of the masters. The teachings are such that even those devoted to the books do not understand them, and therefore fall into illusion. They are symbolic. They give out history pregnant with meaning. Go deep down into them. My temple of the body is the highest, as all desires are renounced, and the dearly beloved is mine. The Lord, who is loved above all else, has become his, all his, and no one else's, for he has given everything up, and there is nothing but the Lord. I have become his, he has become mine. The soul merges into God and realizes the bliss that he is. Not content with that much information, people clamored for him to tell them more. His replies are given further in the hymn, in which he refers to certain stages. You can judge for yourselves where you stand at present. The sun appears and the light radiates. The stage is prepared with profound devotion. God, the light, sun of all suns, manifested. God is within in the form of light, and those who see that light are disciples of the Lord, irrespective of religion. This is a light which is apparent, and it merges into its own source. Therefore, through the inner light and perpetual music, one merges with the true Lord. When the Lord sits upon the prepared throne, the soul merges into him, and the two become one. Two became one image, and the desire to return was gone, but he persuaded me. Who would desire to return to this world having reached such a wonderful stage? Just consider how masters forsake this complete bliss for the imprisonment of the body. They give up the ecstasy of their own home to take on God's mission? And what do they have to face? They are reviled, insulted, tortured, and false propaganda about them is spread abroad. The multicolored Lord came to grace the stage, O Nanak. The soul enjoyed true happiness by meeting the Lord. To receive true happiness is the very essence of human life. Without unraveling the mystery, the human life is wasted. If you have not yet found the Lord, then what is the Master's advice? He says that one should adopt the attributes of an innocent girl who daily increases her pure love for her betrothed. Entering her husband's home, she becomes whatever he is. The Son of Man becomes the Son of God, the true relationship which was made possible by the Guru. He is the very bread of life, and his gift is the greatest blessing, for he raises the soul above body consciousness that it may taste the nectar which renders all other tastes insipid. I have explained the Master's words to you very briefly. Those who have already received a small portion of this wealth should work hard to increase it. Whatever it grows into will go with you at the end, when all other things remain here. Wealth, property, even the body will be left behind. They were given, according to your Prarabdha karmas, the give and take for this life. With joy and cheerfulness, endure them. Master's teachings are very simple and direct. We are all entities of the Lord, all brothers and sisters in God, and he is our Father. It is a true relationship joined by the Guru and can never be broken. Those of you who have received the gift of initiation are most fortunate. Benefit from it. You have love for me, and I appreciate it. Many do have love, but they do not obey. Do not waste your precious opportunity in love of this kind. I wish that you should benefit fully from the priceless jewel you have been given, and your love should be in this alone. Whatever is told to you, obey. Do your meditation, for in meditation lies the true thing which has permanent value. Thank you, Master, for this opportunity to sit together, even though we're physically far apart from each other and from you. But thank you for this opportunity to sit together in your name. Amen.
Thank you, David, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today there were 70 people at the satsang. Thank you everybody for attending, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.